Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Another weekend of upsets. The Eagles still looking at the top two. And Frio's final window, just ajar, just a minute.
That was out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is...
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Hello, everybody. Tuesday, time for the Duff and Quarters podcast, the first edition this week. We are brought to you by Tab Touch. Big weekend of footy, Quarters. Significant weekend of results. West Coast honing in on the top two.
Yep.
GWS revitalised.
Amazing weekend, Duff.
And some very brave coaching by Ross Lyon just got him a result against Sydney, and a very much needed result, I think, for both him and
so
Fremantle.
Both West Coast and Frio. So obviously for Frio, it's only slightly ajar, like the door for the finals. I assume they won't make the finals, but at least it's ajar. It gives them something. West Coast, that top two is very much within their grasp. So a very important game to win. It was it's tough, really, after the first quarter. You thought they were going to sail away with it. But it was a very hard game for them. It was a good result. And it was one of those weekends, I reckon, entering, you thought, I know there's going to be some upsets here. You just got to try and jag which ones they are. But... yeah, I didn't manage to jag any of the upsets. So
which was the biggest one as far as
well,
you were concerned?
I think the Giants Collingwood, just the result, the first quarter, I just thought, now I don't know whether it was Collingwood coming back from Perth or what, but that first quarter was emphatic to say, you know, that really making a statement. Can GWS go on with it? Now, I want to see what they do this week because they're so inconsistent. That was pretty impressive. I thought that was the biggest turnaround. Result that I expected last weekend.
So the impressive thing about GWS was the intent, wasn't it? Like from the absolute start of the game, they were at a level we have rarely seen them at, with ferocity, attack on the ball, attack on the opposition player with the ball. And to me, they bring that every week and they will take a hell of a lot of beating.
See, with GWS, we keep saying it, they're almost a premiership team. They're just almost there. They just don't look like they can take that next step. But having their crisis of injuries at the moment may well help them to take that next step, because you've got people like Toby Green who gets elevated into a leadership role and a midfield role, and he just, you know, oozes with class on the day and leadership.
And aggression.
But I just think, and Jeremy Cameron steps up, and we saw that triumvirate again kick bags, each of them. So I just think that may well be really important. When you look back on the Giants' year, you may say that was the week that they got it right. Let's hope so, because I just want to see what they can produce.
Yeah, me too. I just get that you don't like to see unfulfilled potential. And to me, if they don't win one, to me, it's a massive...
It is.
A massive case of unfulfilled potential. So I think that hopefully that is what they bring every week, because one, it was great to watch. And two, you would like to see that group of young players, I think, you know, take something away from the game before they... Because a lot of them will leave. I mean, that's the way this club has been set up, hasn't it? It's been set up so that they can harvest a lot of young talent, they can keep it long enough to be competitive, but also that young talent will be able to move if it chooses to move. So until GWS is filling the stadium there, Giant Stadium, you know, 23,000-24,000 bums on seats for all their home games, they're going to find it tough to hang on to players for the duration of their careers. So it would be great to see, before the talent thins out too much, if they could just pluck one, I reckon.
The other thing it sort of proved to us is that a bit of aggression towards that Collingwood midfield. There's some question marks there now. It's a midfield that bats deep. It's a midfield with a lot of talent. But they have been found wanting on occasion when that aggression has been placed on that midfield. The other thing over the weekend, Duff, and I'm very happy to say it, is that those Geelong two games clear, and all of a sudden they're stuttering. And, you know, it was a Clarkson masterclass, but that was a pretty full-strength Geelong side, pretty much a full-strength Geelong side. So I think that, I think Geelong is definitely gettable. they'll still be very much there at the pointy end, I think. They've got too much ability not to be. But I think if you're West Coast and you're GWS and you're Collingwood, Collingwood's still in it, you're looking at it and you're saying, well, you know, anyone's flag, really.
They got nutted, didn't they, by Clarkson Geelong.
There's no exit points for them. They couldn't they played silly footy.
Yeah, they couldn't move the ball. And they got, you're right, they did play silly footy. And but the other thing is too, either side of three-quarter time, four blokes took shots on goal that all should have been kicked and they all missed.
Mm. But keeping in mind, Hawthorn had a very inaccurate second quarter as well. So Hawthorn should have been way ahead at halftime.
Yep.
So I think there was a bit of that from both sides. But look, a lot to like. I mean, the Hawks heading in the right direction. They were written off a month ago. But probably just going to miss out, I'd say. You never know, but I think probably about ninth is where Hawthorn will finish. And setting up well for a challenge next year with Tom Mitchell coming back. Tom Mitchell, Duff, has re-signed today another 2 years, so that'll take him to the end of 2023.
And another Mitchell Lewis is the rising star nominee.
Yeah, good player.
Has certainly shown a bit over the last 2 weeks.
He has. He's kicking his two or three a week. And see, the other player who's finally coming to fruition is Tim O'Brien. Windscreens, as we call him amongst the Hawthorn faithful. Now, he's been a long-term project, but starting to clunk a few now, and just amazing what a bit of faith from the coach has in you, because Clarkson has stuck really fat with this kid. And there were raps on him earlier. I think he comes up from Darwin way originally. And Mitch Lewis, you're quite right. I think Hawthorn is still very much in the market for another key forward. They're still into John Patton. So they do need some more options down there, I think, particularly when Ruffhead moves on at the end of the year.
Comes from Darwin. He hasn't got the right complexion for a Darwin.
No, he hasn't. No.
Let's move on. The big climber, of course, is Brisbane, and they survived an absolute thriller.
Well, yeah, should they have?
Against North Melbourne. So, well, they did kick another goal after that.
Yeah,
so.
But you always look at those, but the game was done. I just think that was that. We're talking about the big O's free kick.
Free kick, no free kick.
Against Scotty Thompson. Oh, no, I don't think it was a free kick.
So the AFL has said umpire error.
Yep.
It's interesting, you know, because the AFL tends to tick these things off even when we know the decision is wrong. I would have thought that one is open to interpretation because, I mean, Oscar McInerney's gone down like a fallen tree. But there was contact very early in the marking contest, and he was removed from the marking contest.
I think the leap, Greg Louganis would have been proud of that leap, I reckon.
I don't like the way the AFL looks for triggers, and they looked at the contact between Thompson and McInerney, and they say, well, that doesn't satisfy any of our triggers. He's not holding the jumper. He's not got hands in the back. So, therefore, it's not a free kick. I would have thought it could qualify as interference in a marking contest.
Yeah, I'd hate to see that as a free kick.
Well, he's taken him out of the marking contest. I'm not sure you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if he really...
Well, in fact, I'm sure you're not allowed to do that.
Mm. For me, I just think there's still... I still like a bit of good old-fashioned body-to-body work and a bit of holding your ground. I'm not sure if there was much in it. That was my interpretation. So, I was watching that I just thought it was a bad way to end a good game because it was a really good game.
But it's either a free kick or it's not.
I don't think it is.
If you're saying there's not much in it, you're saying Oscar took a dive.
I am saying that. 100%.
Yeah. Which is interesting because we've been told that players who take dives will be...
penalised or reported.
Will be looked upon grimly.
Well, he hasn't been looked upon
grimly. He'll be taking a dim view.
I'll tell you what, the other thing I want to mention about that... it's amazing Scott Thompson was actually standing, Duff. He's had a ruptured testicle during the game in the second half. And not only did he play on, but he's managed to see the game out. Now, I'm assuming he's not playing this week because, look, I'll let you in a little bit of personal history, Duff. I've had a ruptured testicle, and it was many, many years ago. And I'm telling you, I had a walking stick for about a month.
Did you?
Oh, mate, it's really, really painful.
Describe the pain.
Almost unconscious, almost blacking out type of pain, keeled over, doubled over. And if his was anything like that, the guy gets up off the ground and just plays on. That's unbelievable. I just...
Oof. And he took that mark at the end.
Oh, yeah, look, I'm not sure if he was on any sort of painkillers, but I just look at that. And I wasn't aware at the time of obviously he'd ruptured his testicle, but when I look back on it now and you see the highlights, you just think, How did you do that?
He probably wanted to abuse the umpire when that free kick was paid, but he couldn't speak a lot.
Yeah,
ouch. I think you and I are sitting here squirming and wincing, aren't we, really?
We are, and look, having been through it, but, you know, the good news is, Duff, I've fully recovered and able to have three children in my life, which is a great thing. So
you've sighed.
I have. I've done my job.
Okay, so Brisbane, the winners. We've had this conversation a number of times.
Oh, they're starting to. I'm going to have to start turning my toes up soon. Look, it's really hard to see them not making top four now. I'll tell you what, really big game for them this week. They're going down to Tasmania. Now, they have had the wood on Hawthorn the last couple of years. Interestingly, Hawthorn's not beaten Brisbane since Luke Hodge has been there. So, obviously, and Chris Fagan, of course, at Brisbane. So, obviously, there's a bit of knowledge about the Hawks. But I think the Hawks want to win this one, of course they do. This is a really important game. If they win this, I'd say I'm going to have to say they're top four.
Yeah. I think they're due. I reckon Hawthorn will get them this week.
Jarman Impey's out, which is a big out for Hawthorn.
ACL.
And look, I'll tell you the interesting thing about Jarman Impey too is it sort of now, I'm not sure if the Hawks can afford to lose Isaac Smith.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you wouldn't expect Jarman Impey plays much next year.
No, I reckon he will. I reckon he'll play about sort of second half to the... We're talking about rounds 15 next year. So you can still get plenty of footy towards the end of next year.
I reckon we talk about the ACL being a 9 to 12-monther. Generally, it's a 12-monther.
It depends what the other damage is, of course. If it's just a clean ACL, then it can be a quicker recovery. But if there's a lot of other damage around it, then that can take a little bit longer. Rance is the perfect example here. The Richmond defender, we're seeing him mount a bit of a surge to play towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I just think Richmond would be crazy to have Alex Rance, to let Alex Rance run out there. We know from what the surgeons tell us that it is not completely strengthened until the 12-month period. They run Alex Rance around in a final, and he does it again. That's him gone for next year. And that's probably Alex Rance's career.
See, my theory on it is that I think he's obviously critical to them. I think they're going to be right there at the pointy end. If he can convince the medicos that he's fit and ready to go, I think it's worth the gamble because premiership windows come and go and they don't come back for a long time. This could be, I mean, we may be sitting here thinking, oh, Richmond are going to challenge for the next 2-3 years. They may not, Duff. This might be their last chance to have a crack at it. So that's the only thing. They'll be seriously looking at it, I reckon, if he's able.
Yeah, look, footy clubs fall for this all the time. Put fit players out there. There is no way Alex Rance is going to be 100% fit in the finals. And the Alex Rance we all think about is the Alex Rance that is fully fit, coming off his own man, impacting the next contest up, you know, rolling up a line, being that the most influential defender in the game. That is not the bloke you're going to get running around for you in the final series this year. The bloke you're going to get running around in the final series this year is a guy coming off a knee reco who's going to be a bit dodgy changing directions and may re-injure it and take him out of the 2020 season as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They're a bit better now at getting players back on the park and making sure they hit the ground running. So it is a big... Obviously, it's the biggest of injuries when you're talking about players returning, you know, ACLs.
And people,
that and Achilles, you know. Achilles are hard too.
And they still re-injure them. Nick Natanui's done too.
Yeah. But look, I just reckon watch this space on that one. I really do. I think it's going to be intriguing. Should they go deep into the finals... it's going to be intriguing, that Alex Rance watch. The Jarman Impey one's interesting, though, I reckon, because with Isaac Smith, because Hawthorn's looking at trading in some more. There's the other debate. Do they trade in more or do they go to the draft? I think they need to do a bit of a mix of both, to be honest, but I'm not sure if Isaac Smith is now invaluable to Hawthorn.
I would have thought he was. Mm. I would have thought he always was.
Yeah, same. Yeah, he's important.
To me, you know, great running player, good ball user. And you get the best of what he's got every week. That's not a guy you want walking out the door. Let's move on to the two local teams' quarters.
Yes.
So Sydney v Fremantle at Optus Stadium.
Great finish. We love these finishes, don't we? I'm not sure if you do. You're sitting there trying to cover a game, thinking about writing your analysis to a deadline. I'm sitting there putting a paper out to a deadline, and these tight finishes, you never know which way to go.
I kind of knew how I was going to write my piece, because I realised that what it came down to, Ross rolling the dice with the three ruckmen, and it was either going to be...
That's Ross Lyon now.
It's either going to be trying to get the photographers to leave him alone for 2 days. It was either going to be that it had blown up in his face because they'd been outrun, or it had been a stroke of genius because they'd won. And to me, I take my hat off to him. There were 7 goals kicked by Fremantle. 6 of them were either kicked by or created by their ruckman. And in a team that was decimated by key injuries, he was able to find a point of difference and a point of advantage.
I'd agree with that. Could have, of course, gone the other way quite easily if the bouncer or the free kick against Hamling was paid. It could have, but it didn't. So I'd agree with you there. I think 3 goals to Lobb. I think 2 assists to Sandilands, 1 to Darcy. So 6 out of 7 goals. Mm. You've got to give him a tick for that.
But it would be the wrong decision to go. Well, he's probably not going to have the choice.
Well, maybe not, because it was. If it's a kick in it, you can't say that.
No, I'm saying it will be the wrong decision if he does it again this week. He should not, even if Roy Lobb's fit, and we believe he's not going to be.
Yeah.
Fremantle should resist the temptation to go with 3 ruckmen.
Yeah, just on Lobb, I've really liked his season. Now, there seems to be some school of thought out there that it hasn't been quite what they would have anticipated. But look, I think the blokes, he's kicked 3 again at the weekend. That chase down at the finish with his shoulder hanging off his, that was terrific stuff. And I think Lobb has been asked to probably do a bit more than he expected. He wants to be more permanent forward. He's been asked to do a bit more in the ruck, but I don't think he's let them down. I think he's been a real win for Freo this year.
I'll tell you what did surprise me. When I looked at the coaches' votes yesterday, there was no Joel Hamling.
Yeah, that's surprising.
Amongst the coaches. I would have thought Joel Hamling was pretty...
He's their best two. Mundy Hamling.
Mundy Hamling were their best two, I would have said, on the night. So they did give Lobb votes, and obviously he kicked 3 goals, but... to me, the number of times Hamling, his presence in the air, whether he took the mark or got a spoil in, I thought that was critical to
Reid kicked 3. Who was Reid?
Reid kicked 3, but he got a couple on the lead when there wasn't much the defender could do about it, and he sliced one through from the
pocket. So you wonder whether that's influenced the coaches' votes?
Maybe. I guess if you're going to give Lobb votes because he's kicked 3, it's probably hard to give the votes to a bloke who's played on a guy who kicked 3, but... I wouldn't have put any of Reid's goals down to any great fault to Joel Hamling. Yep. And if you look at the contest he gave in the air and his presence when it really mattered, when the game went on the line, I would have said that he was right up there with the best players on the ground.
And Brayshaw's game, 8 tackles,
so
more
I think,
time in the middle.
I reckon the most significant thing to come out of it, Quarters, is that they needed to get significant input from their young players, and they did. So you mentioned Brayshaw. 13 disposals after half-time, number of tackles. He always tackles well.
Yep.
He was good around clearances. He was great in the contest, and he was great when it mattered at the end. He kicked the point that evened the scores. I think I said in my match report he'd kicked the point that won the game, and that was quickly pointed out to me by a reader that that wasn't the case. It was Ed Langdon that kicked that point. Thank you, Maria, for
reminding she solved a problem.
How do you solve a problem? Ring Maria. So Brayshaw was great. I thought Chera, that was one of the better games Chera has played this year. I think Chera's been messed up a little because he's been shifted around too much, and I would have loved to have seen him go through the middle a bit, but he played across halfback.
Yeah. So where do you think
he's really solid game?
Would you play more time in the middle for Chera?
Chera is an inside midfielder. Yeah. That's where he'll end
more
up.
More time in the middle.
I would like to see him go through there more.
And perhaps as the season, we get to the end of the season now, perhaps it wouldn't do him any harm.
Yeah. And the other ones, I thought they got... Taylan Dewman, I think, played well. I think Sean Darcy played well in the ruck. So that's 4 young players that they can look at and say, well, we got something out of them. We've got something to work with there. And I think that's critical. And then you've got the next layer on top of that, Tucker, Langdon, Connor Blakely, those players. So there's a bit to work with there at Fremantle.
So 8 wins now?
8 wins.
Which is, I think I said pre-season, I'd be happy with 8 wins and the better results in terms of their bringing those losing margins down.
There's a lot of unrest at the moment, though, around Fremantle, isn't there? And it's hard to say how much of this is just bluster and how much of it is real. There's talk that, St Kilda might be coming round to the notion that Ross Lyon, they'd be prepared to bring him back and have another crack with him.
So I'd be stunned if he ended up coaching St Kilda.
Yeah, me too.
Apart from the fact, the people who he departed may not be there, but I think fans...
Fans don't forget.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd be too forgiving, really.
Ross had...
He did a great job at St Kilda.
Absolutely.
But the departure was not well received.
Yeah, so Ross had the contractual right to leave, but it was messy, wasn't it? It was, you know, he was... St Kilda were negotiating the contract extension, and Ross negotiated, according to the terms of the contract, it must be said, that he had the out, and he negotiated the out and slid through that exit clause to go to Fremantle. And look, he did a very good job at St Kilda, and he did a very good job at Fremantle. But the fact that they're probably going to miss finals for 4 years means that, you know, what do Fremantle do? Do they let him run through to the end of his term next year? Or if there is an option for Ross to go somewhere else, do they shake hands and part amicably at the end of this year? It's an interesting one, and I think it probably depends a little bit on what happens between now and the end of the season.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this could be a situation. Caretakers haven't got a great record in stepping up to the senior position, but we could be in a position here where the three caretakers do indeed coach the sides next year. Teague, maybe not, but, I mean, Teague has absolutely turned that side around. Rhys Shaw has done everything possible to win that job. Mm. And we've only seen Brett Ratton in one game. But clearly, I mean, just the manner in which he stepped into the role last week, showed a lot of class too. But so, both in the messages he sent to Alan Richardson and the messages Alan Richardson sent to him,
yeah,
a lot of class in that exchange. He can obviously coach. I still think he was really stiff to lose that Carlton job. So I think they're going to be he will mount a case as the year unfolds. And I would not be surprised if the three caretakers are coaching those sides next year.
Yeah, I reckon two.
Yeah.
I think that...
If it is one that's going to miss, it'll probably be Teague, my opinion.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But given Chris Judd's public utterances, they don't want to coach with training.
He's had to retract from those, though.
Yeah, but it can't be unsaid, can it?
No.
You can try your best to walk it back. But
I'm not sure if too many in agreement with him on that, though.
Yeah, I would have thought Judd's going to carry his words are going to carry some weight when they sit down to decide who their coach is, and that was his thinking at the time. So it's, as I say, there are some things that are seen that can't be unseen. There are some things that are said that can't be unsaid. That's definitely one of them. West Coast.
So have they dodged a bullet or a couple of bullets? Barras escapes the a week suspension, and McGovern with his ankle.
So the Barras one, I reckon, was very much a 50-50 one.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, he had the ball. He's gotten rid of the ball. Jack Viney's the player coming in. Jack Viney's a player who always looks for contact.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would say is where he's probably been a bit lucky is that when you brace for contact, you tend to make yourself small and hunch up. You get your arm down by your rib cage to protect that part of your body, and you don't drop the shoulder and reach out. And Tommy reached out. So he knew that contact was coming, but he was happy to embrace the contact. And when the contact came, he's hit him in the jaw. So I think a tad lucky.
Yeah, I think more than a tad lucky. I think he's very lucky, to be honest, Duff. But we'll take it.
Well, West Coast will take
it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. And as for the McGovern one, it looked to me like you're...
Just another run-of-the-mill weekly McGovern injury, Duff.
Right. Yeah, he does.
Every week. I'm at the footy. I'm there and someone says, oh, McGovern's injured. Oh, no, he's not. I say, no, he's not. Now, he'll be back in a minute. And he does. He reappears, doesn't he?
Aren't ankles amazing, though? If you have remember how the thing you used to dread as a kid was rolling your ankle out?
Oh, yeah.
That's now your garden variety ankle injury. The ones that cause the real issues are the other ones.
Oh, yeah.
When it gets stretched forward, which is what the syndesmosis becomes, or when it goes in. And that can be a longer term.
A very pleasant Duff, I can tell you.
The one that rolls out hurts a lot for the first couple of minutes. But when I saw him sort of after a couple of minutes walking reasonably normal, and I thought, no, he's going to be fine.
He'll
He'll get strapped up and he'll come back on.
Look, as we said before, look, it was a good win. It was really important. They were challenged. Great spectacle up there too.
Mm.
I'm led to believe Adam Simpson was a little bit concerned about there was very much a carnival atmosphere up there.
Yep.
So he had words with the players beforehand just to keep their mind on the job. But as I said, challenged, but really important win in the context of chasing that top two.
Absolutely. And Frankie Watson very good debut, very solid debut off
halfback. Five Indigenous players for the Eagles, which is equal record for them. Great to see. And great to see them embrace the people of Alice Springs too. And they love them. And those Indigenous players were the stars of the town for that week. And the Melbourne players as well.
Now, I believe when you had your perforated testicle.
Yes.
You were...
That was in somewhere. Well,
you were going on a school trip to Uluru.
I was. Near Alice Springs. And I was told in no uncertain terms, you cannot climb the rock.
Right.
So I couldn't climb the rock at that on that occasion.
Yes.
I was walking around with a cane, so a bit hard. I did get to climb it at a later stage while you were still able to do so. And it's a pretty steep climb, that one.
Absolutely. And it would have been, what was the weather like?
What was the time of year was it? It was quite nice, actually. It was very mild. Yes, lovely.
Okay. What else jumped off the page of you the weekend? Cause what did you make of the Friday night game between Adelaide and Essendon?
Well, Essendon starting to win me over. Mitch Brown's game I loved. Merritt's game I loved. Shield's game I loved. They look like a final side now. How far they can go, I'm not sure, but just getting there might engender them with a fair bit of confidence, and they could do some damage. It's a great result for Worsfold, really, because he was under the pump about 5-6 weeks ago, and he hasn't wavered. As we know, John Worsfold doesn't. You've got to give John, whether you regard him as the world's greatest coach or not, he's a great leader.
Yep,
no question about that. And this is why Essendon got him there after the dark days. And this is what he's galvanised that club. Whether you rate him as one of the great coaches or not, doesn't really matter. He's got them into this position now, has not wavered. And they're very much got a team with momentum. What, they've 6 of the last 7, I think?
Yeah, and playing good footy too. I mean, the way they stymied Adelaide, I thought the way they stymied Adelaide's ball movement. You know, the other thing that disappointed me about Adelaide is how many tackles they missed. Like in a big game like that, when you're playing a final eight rival.
It's a real worry. I mean, particularly their forward line. Two things I'll say. Firstly, about Essendon, obviously they're a back half team. The concern being you don't win flags from that being a back half footy team. So you get hold of their run from half back and you're probably a chance with Essendon. So we'll see how that plays out in the finals. Adelaide, for me, I never thought they were a top four side. Now, I always thought they were a top six side. Now I'm thinking they're a top eight side.
Okay.
So I think they're going to finish closer to eighth than to fourth, if you know what I mean.
So let's talk about the other Adelaide team. Port Adelaide went and played Richmond at the MCG. Richmond
bit
did
of bow and arrow action, Duff.
Yeah, it was one of his more flagrant.
Look, I don't mind that.
Richmond did what we expected them to do.
They did.
What did you make of Port Adelaide?
Look, they played a side that's in probably the form side of the comp in many ways, Richmond. So I thought it was a half decent effort, really, from where Port Adelaide's at. They're going to sneak into the eight if they do. They're not going to do much damage, I don't think, this year. I like where they're going with their kids. I think if you're a Port Adelaide supporter, I think you're reasonably buoyant. It's no shame what happened to them last weekend. I think Richmond will finish top four and have a real lash at the flag. So you're playing one of the form sides of the comp. I think there's very much reason to be optimistic if you're a Port Adelaide supporter. Do you agree?
I think the fact that they've got those three or four kids, I do agree with that. And they've got good games in them. And plus, it's not just those three or four kids. They've been introducing youth, I think, for the last two or three years. But their inconsistency is an issue. And really, they've dropped a few games. When they look back at the end of the season, if they don't get there, they'll look back at a number of games that really we would have said they could have won and didn't win. And we'll ask, how come they weren't able to measure up in those games?
Wasn't lost on me either that Houston suffered some concussion at the weekend. At the weekend that, man, we celebrated 50 years since man landed on the moon. I was
Houston
watching
had
it,
a problem.
I was thinking, that's what I was thinking. Houston, we have a problem.
Thank you very much for that. St Kilda versus Western Bulldogs.
Rowan Marshall. That's what leapt out at me from that game. Geez, he can play. Might be the best ruckman in the comp at the moment.
So why is the word around that they're going hard after Toddy Goldstein? Now?
Maybe they want forward ruck combination, something along those lines. If Goldstein was available and you had the cash to get him, which they have, I'd have a crack. good player, Goldstein, but you're not getting Rowan Marshall's your number one going forward. He's a terrific footballer.
What it did emphasise is the absolute joke it is that St Kilda are asking for a priority draft pick.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Well, we had our priority pick party last week, didn't we? I mean, that was just silly.
And weren't the little left footers good? Jack Loney and
Jack
Billings.
Yeah, four in the first. Loney, I think.
Yeah.
So, and set the tone, really. I mean, they won that game in the first quarter. Dogs inevitably fought back as they do, but St Kilda had the game won early. And, all the left footers. I think I always look at St Kilda and I say, there's not really any A graders there. Well, maybe there are, but certainly one in Rowan Marshall.
I think Billings is.
Yeah.
I think Billings is now an A grader. And I think, but for poor kicking at goal, I think we would have viewed him as an A grader a couple of years ago.
Hunter Clark might be down the track too. He's a good player. So, I mean, look, St Kilda has been, I would give them a B-plus for the year.
Mm.
And that's a year in which they've sacked their coach.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I think we had this discussion last week that their expectations and the list capability, they got too far apart, didn't they? They weren't on the same page in that.
So
in
I'd
that
give
regard.
Them a B plus this year, and further to that, our discussion last week about the Western Bulldogs. See, you're saying in your comment, which is quite right, they don't play finals. Have they underachieved?
Yeah. Why aren't they in the?
I think ninth would be okay for me, but. I need to see a bit in the last few weeks of the season.
To me, they'll play Fremantle this week. They've got a better list than Fremantle right now. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Yes, I would. I think so. I think they've got they can match the midfield, probably a bit more depth, definitely a bit more depth in the midfield, and they've got one of the better forwards in the comp heading into the future.
Yeah, emerging. Norton. Yeah, yeah.
Four years down the track, he will be. But right now, he's a very sound player. But I think he'll be one of the elite.
So what do they need then? Obviously, tall defenders appears
to be a bit
of a... I think
tall defenders is their key.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit of support for Norton while he develops as well down the other end. So it's going to be interesting to see whether they can gather that. Shacky, after some promising weeks, he had a down day.
But you're going to get that. That's okay.
He also ended up in La La Land.
Yeah, he did too. But I think he's shown me enough, I think, to go forward with some confidence, I think, Shacky. We always knew he could play. I think he's shown enough. He's allowed to have a down week.
That was a dangerous situation, Quarters. Shacky gets hurt, and because there's no runners allowed out on the ground, no one gets to him for a long time and realises he's in trouble. The umpires don't stop the game. He actually ends up getting a couple of possessions on his way off when he's still didn't know where he was.
I think a few of the AFL coaches will be noting that when they sit down with the AFL at the end of the year and say, let's revisit this situation.
That was dangerous. And to me...
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm not a big... I'm actually supportive of the less time on the ground for runners. But you're quite right. You raise a good point. That is an area they need to look at.
Maybe it's one where any umpire, whether it be a boundary umpire, goal umpire or whatever... Any umpire should have the power to see an injured player.
Well, medicos are allowed out there, though.
It took them a long time to get there.
Well, maybe they needed to get out there a bit quicker.
Yeah.
Normally pretty good, the Dogs, too.
Yeah. No, I think it was just, it was one of those ones where he didn't lay flat on the ground. He sort of got up and got the staggers. And the camera was on him, so we saw it very early. And then he was out there for another minute after that. And the ball was in and around him. You know, he was in the play. And you would like to think in that situation that someone would notice and stop the play. Maybe it's almost incumbent on one of the players, whether it be a Dogs player or a St Kilda player, to say, this guy's hurt, we need to stop the play. Maybe that's...
They would definitely need to look at it.
Maybe that's where we're at.
I'd agree.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back on Thursday, another big round of fixtures, and we're getting to that exciting part of the year where we work out who's going to make the 8.
Round 19.
Who's going to make the 4. It's
round 19.
Who's going to host the finals?
Ugh.
Who's going to win the flag?
Expect some hue and cry over that.
Quarters. We always finish up with a put-it-on-the-line sort of question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your top 4.
Top 4, Geelong... West Coast, Richmond, Collingwood.
Still no Brisbane?
No, I'm going to have them fifth still.
All right.
Win in Tassie this week. Ask me next week. They win in Tassie this week. I'll revisit that.
You heard it, folks. Glenn Quatermain, still not convinced.
Don't jump off the Pies just yet.
All right, well, you're not jumping off your Hawks either, are you? You're saying they're going to beat the Lions in Tassie.
Well, I reckon they're a big chance.
Yeah, I think they probably will, actually. All right, thank you for joining us. Courtesy of Tab Touch, we'll be back on Thursday, and we'll talk to you again then.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.